we rode Super 73s from downtown Chicago about 5 miles out west. No man's land. And we did it all winter long. I didn't have gloves for half the winter. I just bared it. Now I can't ride to Sweetgreen 4 blocks away.
We're going right by the United Center or whatever, and there's an intersection. Dude, you were just cooking, and for some reason you thought you could take a full speed in the snow. Like, the ground is covered in snow. Corner with zero tread, and you just f***ing wipe in the middle of this intersection.
Some people are really f***ing stupid.
I don't shoot shorts anymore, but I wanted to do one on, like, how bombers in World War II would figure out where to drop the bombs at night. Because you can't, like, go in the site and be like, oh, drop it here, because everything's black, especially if it's cloudy. So what they do, they would have, wait, let me remember. Well, it's been a weird
these past few months, and
let me dude, I don't know how podcasts, I might gotta regroup. Welcome to the Smart Nonsense Podcast, where we talk about smart nonsense.
I haven't heard
we're
you
back
do that
at
new
it again,
intro.
Baby.
I don't think I heard you. Oh,
got it again!
Oh, he is.
Somebody's gonna control the pod, dude.
He's emerged from the heart of darkness, from the pig
pen trough. You
know why?
Because I have one sales call that I think has a 50% chance of going well. That's all it takes, dude. Very. What do they call that? Very. My happiness is dependent on factors I can't really control. So that's dangerous, dude.
He's extrinsically motivated. That's what it is. Let's kick things right off, Pop. Let's kick them right off.
Fuck.
I mean, I don't really. What's the temperature? What are we going for? What kind of? Because I got a couple threads. You know me. I'm mostly giggly goo guy. It's late in the evening, so the giggles are early onset.
God damn, dude! I had some, but now I'm realizing they're not goo balls. And you know we want to start with the goo. Wait, let me just think if I've done anything.
Well, let me
does
ask
anyone...
you. Yeah, let me ask you something. Is it getting cold in New York now? Oh, you ask about the weather. Can't even do small talk. Easy question.
I wasn't prepared for that sort of podcast. It's a little bit colder.
Easy question.
Nippier.
Well, my question is, what are you going to do with your Super 73 hog in the winter? Because I ride my hog.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
I ride every day to Sweetgreen for lunch. And yesterday was quite possibly the most miserable ride. Of my entire life, because winter is coming. I got snowed on, and I sent you a picture of me covered in snow.
It was October 30th when you got
first,
snowed on?
October 31st. I know your entire life centers around your Super 73. That is your identity. So I thought maybe you would give your point of view about your Super 73 in the winter. That's all.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know.
Didn't know it was small talk.
I don't know if you think I'm getting softer with age, but do you remember what we did in 2021?
Yeah.
Dude, you were fucking Batman out there.
we rode Super 73s from downtown Chicago about 5 miles out west to the west side
Dude,
of Chicago.
So deep.
No man's land.
The ghetto.
And we did it all winter long. I was actually so poor at the time, I didn't have gloves for half the winter. I just bared it. I was thinking about that. Now I can't ride to Sweetgreen 4 blocks away.
Well, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking how you have this, you had the Benny Bunko, like the first gen Super 73, that was like the super base model. So it doesn't have any fenders. So that means you're just kicking up spray left and right. And it's got street tires. So it doesn't have those little like spiky things that come off, the little like finger frongs that like give you grip.
Treads something.
Yeah, treads. That's what they are. Finger frongs. So we're just like going through, dude, because we had to go 5 miles. We're going right by the United Center or whatever. And there's an intersection. And dude, you were just cooking, and for some reason you thought you could take a full speed in the snow, like the ground is covered in snow, corner with zero tread, and you just fucking wipe in the middle of this intersection. It's like a two lane both way sort of
intersection. I remember. Well, it wasn't fast. I just kind of tipped over and my bike slid out.
It looked
my question
really
is,
sad.
Why were we biking 5 miles to the office in a slushy snow fest?
Our
what
buddy
was
had
that
a car
all about?
Too. And
what on earth? You know the reason we liked. Here's the reason. Ooh, there's a. Well, I call it a Chinook, but I think it's a Chinook, the helicopter with two. Two blades. There's two of them going by outside, and that's kind of funny.
Oh, that's really cool.
We can roll the B-roll at least for the folks with ADD.
Well, of what?
Stop. Of footage. The Chinook. Chinook. Oh. What is it? You should know. You're COD guy.
Chinook.
Why are we doing that?
Well, we were poor, and I don't know why.
That's what I was going to say. Sorry. The reason we like to do it is because we would sync up our AirPod audios so that we could spend 20 minutes commuting to work listening to the same podcast in our helmets.
I don't think we did that often. Something about like you would listen at like 3x, and I was only a 2x sort of guy, and there was like no noise cancellation, or like I was scared to cancel it because I wanted to hear cars. This was like the most dangerous. For some reason, you just had no perception of danger on the Super 73.
I was so poor like, in 21, 22.
Nothing to lose, like, dude. No binks at home. So that's crazy, but I'm just going to do the same thing, dude. I haven't grown up. I'm just going to bear it down, I got treads. I did it last winter, and it was no big deal. This is a year 2 in New York, so, you know. But I didn't have an office last year that I had to go a couple miles to.
Right. The office is new.
I'm a big boy, dude. I also realized, because you sent this right before the pod, which you got to be careful with those derails. I think, and it's not fully confirmed, but just based on evidence from watching the podcast, I think I might be a mouth breather.
That's really not where I thought you were going with that. That's not where I thought you were going with that. But you're right, because anytime you watch you reacting to like me talking or telling my bit, you're just like
it's like a whale when it's just like going and like scooping up the little what are those called, the little algae or whatever the fuck.
I saw in a podcast that recently came out, we were saying something about how we did an entire season of the pod with your shirt off. And Koi edited like that sexy saxophone.
Fuck, dude.
I forget what song it's from. Hey, let's get to it.
Good pop.
What you got?
Well,
that was my small talk. I got more. Let me give you a thread. Let me give you a thread called "Don't pigeonhole yourself." Okay, that's what this thread is called.
You're not a pigeon, dude. You're a human being.
Don't be a pigeon. It comes from we're seeing just. So many YouTubers that pigeonhole themselves doing the dumbest goddamn content. And then every week they're asking their audience for content ideas. And then every other month they're like, I'm burnt out. And then 3 years go by and they disappear off the face of the earth.
Well, right. Like talk about survivorship bias. I think this comes up because we're talking about like Kelly Okasa, his girlfriend, Ashley, this guy, Luke, like their whole friend group. They're all these vloggers and they're just making the same, like, they're basically repeating viral content. They're just like, here's me on a magic carpet in New York City flying around.
That's what set me off.
Or here's me going to India to find the world's smallest woman, or to Turkey to find the world's tallest man. It's like, what are you doing, man?
They're just pigeonholed in this era of challenge video YouTube.
Right.
And you keep upping the ante. And then all of a sudden, you've got the world's smallest woman standing on your hands in India. And it's like, what are you doing? Well, that can't be it.
Granted, he might like that. Kelly might like that video. I don't know. I personally wouldn't. And, you know, we have Asperger's, low empathy. So we're just assuming they're like us. But assuming they're not like trying to do this. They're just doing it because they think it's going to get views or maybe... I don't really know. I don't mean to like figure it out for them, but like the thing that you don't see is like this one person in their friend group, or actually two people in their friend group, that pretty much just dropped off the face of the earth.
Oh, so who?
Elliot Choi, he hasn't posted in months. It's been like probably almost 6 months. This other girl, she was like this Alaskan girl. I don't subscribe to her, but I don't think she posts very often at all.
What about you, Pop? Well, you're posting the pod. You're posting the pod, so we'll give you that.
I know. Some form of content's getting out there, and I think we're going to clip the pod so that I don't have to shoot as many of the shorts.
But he's done doing shorts. Burned out. Burned to a crisp.
My question for you is why?
Why does what happen?
Why do creators fall into the pigeonhole?
Yeah, before we talk about the why, I wanted to say, I bring this up because our big thing is like, what's the thing that feels like play? What's the work that feels like play that you can do forever? So in our case, it's like, what's the type of content we can make for 20 years and never get tired of it? That's what we set out to do from the start. Right. I'm like, can you create World's Smallest Women, like playing Mario Kart or doing Aladdin genie thing around the streets of New York City for 20 years? Seems highly unlikely. Why do they pigeonhole? Why do they get pigeonholed?
I mean, even look at Casey.
Pigeonhole.
Casey's like, he can't make a vlog for his life now. Like, it's just not, it just takes too much effort. That wasn't even like doing anything crazy.
Wait, are we pigeonholed? Are we going to get pigeonholed in this animated world? But I guess it's, is a pigeonhole something you actively do or passively? Like, it's,
Well,
because like, I think like Casey set out to make a vlog every day for 800 days straight. And now he doesn't do that and like can't really do anything else.
But it doesn't feel like play. Like animation to us, we just get the Christmas present. It's like, here's the cool animated video. We don't have to do any of the work. And like the animators who love animating, they get to work on that. So that's
right,
just
we
like,
just get
hey,
to
we're both playing.
Research and storytell.
Right. Which we'd love. Like we just love learning. And I think that's sort of my... I think the Kellys of the world are the people that you see every summer working the little like cabanas or like working the parking lot at the beach that just like play on their phone and like sit there for 8 hours. They're like the slightly more ambitious version of that. And that kind of sounds like I'm like trash talking them, which I guess I am.
No, you're talking about like, something from a previous episode, which was you go back to your town, your beach town. Was there just something
a ghost?
In my... Did you see that?
That was a fucking ghost, dude.
There's an orb next to me, no?
Watch out for the solar flares, dude.
Dude, all the blinds are down. What you're referring to is going back to your beach town and just seeing the people that work like the same input-output service job every single summer. They're never aspiring to anything more.
Yeah, well, it's even like... Downstairs, I went to grab a little snicky snack right between my sales call and this. And like, I just see the person that's kind of like, all the machines are automated at this little market that I go to. So you just go and like self-checkout. But they got like one person kind of like making sure people don't rob things. And like, it's just the people that do those jobs. It's like, it's not quite busy enough to like keep you occupied. But like, what do you do with the free time that you have? And it's like, you're not really like learning anything. I think that's just the foundational problem is... They don't really have anything to teach, so they have to entertain. It's like you either educate or entertain, and they're not going to educate, so that means you have to entertain. And the problem is, like, unless you have a team of sick animators to help with the entertainment, you got to do it all yourself. That's where I sent you, like, I think I sent you his reel where he's like, or his story, where he was editing till like 7 in the morning. I'm like, dude, I remember doing that in college. I did that like twice. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm going to keep doing this for the rest of my life. So you just, you find someone sick to edit it. And then you can just focus on doing things.
Yeah.
And I'm also not making like prank videos, which is the thing that I started out doing.
Right. I'm sure he loves the edit, but I'm like, so did we. But from the get-go, you were like, I'm not doing this thing for the rest of my life. It's not, Yeah, I don't know. It's just like. It's
needs to be by choice.
Has to be by choice.
Like I don't think if he could just wake up in the morning and that edit is just done, like is our case, he'd get that in an instant. But like the reason why our company exists,
he has an editor. He has an editor now.
Oh, yeah. Why is he editing?
Right.
Oh, fucking. There goes my whole hypothesis.
Oh. That's the thing, though. On the Smart Nonsense podcast, we can just continue on. Nothing has to be true here. No, that's where I'm confused. It's just like, what's a pigeonhole? What's by choice? What's not by choice? I was just listening to this really good Colin and Samir with Brittany Broski. Brittany Broski. She has that really famous meme of like drinking a sip of kombucha, then being like, you'd know it if you saw it. That went viral for her, and her immediate thing was like, I'm not going to be pigeonholed into doing this thing.
Right.
Into being the, like, her first brand deal was like for a kombucha company to do the same kind of short. She's like, I'm not going to be pigeonholed. And she took that opportunity. She fought it. She went and like, she got into long form. She started doing completely different stuff in her TikToks. Now she does a podcast, has a bunch of shows. So she fought the pigeonhole hard.
I mean, it's even like for example, one of our friends that we work with, Patrick Campbell, like he kind of did a more topical, this Israel-Palestine video. And it's like instantly one of 10, like a shooting off, like taking off, I should say.
One of 10 in really the good video. Studio. One out of 10.
Right.
Best of the best.
The best performing video. From that, you could take away like, oh, I'm going to do more polarizing, like topical videos. But then you're going to get pigeonholed into turning into like 24/7 Fox News or something like that. And you just get more and more radical because that's like what the algorithm rewards. Versus like the nice thing about us is like all our content does well. So I guess it's like hard to say. But like we never like subscribed to the idea, oh, you got to just like pick one niche and just be the guy for, I don't know, Vox explainers on the Middle East or something like that. And then that's like all you do. Or like, I don't know. I just know like traditionally that's it's hurt us in certain senses, but like Ali Abdaal, he's like the productivity guy on YouTube. So it's like, that's what most of his content has to be. But like, I'm sure he'd love to talk about other things. And I guess like over time you branch out,
but you got to fight.
You got to fight. Like people basically tell you like, start by pigeonholing yourself. And we're kind of like, I don't think you really need to do that. Although when I talk to like sponsors really like when you have a core audience that like you can sell them one thing. It's like Nike comes to you and it's like, oh, you're the fitness guy. So obviously I want to market with you, versus they come to us and they're like, you're kind of the random explainer guy. Like what the fuck, what company works with you? It's like, I don't know, the most generic company would, but they don't charge much or pay much.
I'll tell you what, Pop. We're digging a hole for ourselves right now and climbing right on into it. We got to get out of this hole.
Pigeonhole with that podcast. Well, fuck, dude.
What kind of threads you got? I still don't know your temperature.
Well,
I got two others.
Well, I don't know when this. I kind of forget how to shoot podcasts because I got threads on like. Like, I listened to, for example, Palmer Luckey podcast. Loved it. Took some notes on it about my favorite takeaways. But, like...
Gardaloo.
What do I do? Do I just, like, talk about him? Is that how this works?
Let me give an intermezzo. What's that called? After the first act or the second act of a play, you have an intermission. Let me give an intermission. Okay. I was reading Stephen King's book called On Writing, I believe. It's his memoir. And he's got this really funny story in there that reminded me a lot of you. I just need to find it. Oh, this isn't good for the intermission, dude. I took screenshots. Where the hell is it? He's talking about James Joyce. Fuck. Dude, worst intermission
ever. Can I say something
ever?
Really quick?
Yeah, say it. And then I'm going to pull this up.
Well, no, I don't even know what to do because I don't like talking to myself.
Heart of Darkness? I got it. Pop, I got it.
Okay. All right.
Well, do you want to bring it up now that I'm listening or do you want me to carry on?
No, talk about James Joyce or whatever.
He's sad. Okay, this is going to be a read-along. Okay. Stephen King writes, one of my favorite stories concerns James Joyce. According to the story, a friend came to visit him one day and found the great man sprawled across his writing desk in a posture of utter despair. Sounds familiar. James, what's wrong? The friend asked. Is it the work? Joyce indicated assent without even raising his head to look at the friend. Maybe you could act this out, Pop. Of course it was the work. Isn't it always? The friend says, how many words did you get today? Joyce says, 7. Friend says, 7? But James, that's good, at least for you. Joyce says, yes. Then he finally looks up. I suppose it is, but I don't know what order they go in. I love that. I love that.
7 words.
Doesn't know order. What order they go in. That's like you. You'll just write all day, and then by the end of the day, you're like, fuck, I'm stuck in 1842 Singapore. I don't. Right. I got all the. I got all those. I got everything, but
talk
I don't know
about
what
a pigeonhole,
order.
Dude. My pigeon travels space and time, dude. You don't know where that wormhole is going to shoot me out.
There's a short I actually still need to write on why pigeons are awesome. It was a Vox video. I think you put it in my queue when you were trying to get me off my business niche. It was about how carrier pigeons were sick and won World War II by sending messages.
Oh, nice, dude. Yeah. I mean, I forgot.
Oh, actually,
video,
no.
So
they put pigeons in bombers, and pigeons were like, sighting bombs because they have like incredible eyesight and they would like use them to.
I wanted to do one. I don't shoot shorts anymore, but I wanted to do one on like how bombers in World War II would figure out where to drop the bombs at night. Because you can't like go in the site and be like, oh, drop it here because everything's black, especially if it's cloudy. So what they do, at least at the early start of the war, they would have. Wait, let me remember. Fuck. Well, it would be like there would be I don't know how they do this, but they'd send out like directed transmissions. So like a radio tower would send out like one frequency of radio waves. So like basically when you hit that frequency, if it's going this way, you'd like hear dings. Like you'd like fuck it, like make sounds and music or whatever. So you'd like hear the ding. Oh wait, this is the. I figured it out. So it started with not how do they drop bombs. It started with how do they land planes at night, because they'd go on like a bombing run or whatever. They'd come back and try and figure it out. Basically, they would just send out these two waves. Somehow, they'd figure out how to like.
That's their job, right? They.
How do they do that? Well,
radio waves.
Yeah, doesn't it go out in all directions? So I'm figuring out how they just have like a thin band of radio waves, like just go here.
Maybe
they
focus it with
a overlap or something.
Maybe they focus it with a dish somehow.
Well, let's go with that. It was super focused.
Yeah, they just focused it.
And basically, like a plane would come in, and it just like when it hears a beep, it's hitting this side, and that's just like the bumper. This is your bumper.
Oh, okay.
It's like oh. When you hear the beep, it's like, okay, you're hitting the bumper, go back this way. And when you hear the beep on this side, go back that way. And so just like stay in this range. It's like if it hears a beep, it's not going the right way. I actually think I fucked that up. I actually think they're supposed to stay on the beep. But we're just gonna plow on because it's a podcast. All right. Not a short. Fuck, dude. I don't know how podcasts I might gotta regroup one of these days and figure out how to shoot a podcast again.
Dude, the last line of that pod is the primary podcast host going, I might need to regroup and figure out how to shoot a pod.
Fuck, dude. Ugh.